although God made us all. But he says in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees that day, and he says, ye are of your father, the devil. So the devil has kids. The devil has children. Jesus said that the Pharisees' father was the devil. Amen. The truth is that we are to recognize that the devil has kids, and they automatically belong, they automatically follow him. And that's interesting, because there are 7.6 billion plus people in the world. On the planet Earth, and it says that each one of them is born with a nature that is favor the devil, a nature that is prone to follow Satan, to go after Satan. Each one is prone to follow the devil. We have automatically, when a child is born, when they come into the world, automatically they are a follower of the devil. Think about that. Immediately upon birth, they are followers of Satan. Think about that. We are living in a world where every time someone is born, they automatically are born with a nature that wants to follow the devil. They are automatically born a child in darkness. And of course, God allows us, that mean that children are going to go to hell between 1 and 12 at least, because we talk about the age of accountability, and to that time, it's up to the parents to try to get their child saved and out of darkness. But think about it. Each child that is born into the world is born in darkness, is born, amen, with the devil, with the devil's itch, with an itch to do wrong, with a natural desire. Automatically, there are children that are prone to follow, that were born, each one is born with a sinful nature. There's not a child born. Think about that. The church has a lot of work to do. The church has a lot of work to do. We have a lot of people to get saved, because they automatically come into the world with a sinful nature. That is major to me. Immediately they get here, born in sin, and immediately wanting to do wrong, wanting to obey the devil, wanting to live for the devil, wanting to love the devil, wanting what the devil wants to offer, automatically gravitated, drawn toward evil, with a desire to follow someone that is bad and evil. Immediately upon entrance into the world, people are automatically lost and going to hell if no one turns them around. Upon their arrival, they are dead on arrival, and they are favor what the devil wants. And as they live life, if they don't get saved, they are nothing but dead men walking. Immediately. This is what the church has to understand. People are coming here lost, automatically lost, and wanting to obey Satan instead of obeying God is natural. You don't have to teach them to. You don't have to tell them to. You don't have to train them to. They don't have to be tutored. They don't need a mentor. Immediately, upon arrival, people are sinners. They're not born saints. They're born sinners. Do you understand how much work we got to do as a church? As Christians? We people are in either one of two categories. They're either saved or lost. Saved or lost. One of two categories. There are no gray areas. No more than there is being you can't be a little bit saved. You're either born, you're saved or lost. No more than you can be a little bit pregnant. We are living in a world, and I can't get off of it, but I've got to follow the Spirit. Do you understand how much work we got to do? Do you understand the nature of the problem? What does this mean? When someone comes into the world, think about this. Let's make sure we got this right. Amen. They can't attain what is good, but they can't abstain from what is bad. Isn't that bad? You don't want to do right, but you want to do wrong. And you came here that way. And what does that mean? That means that sin has got our wires crossed. Amen. Sin has got our wires crossed. Sin has us programmed to fail. We are courting destruction the moment our eyes open as a bouncing baby boy or a bouncing baby girl. Only two categories. And we don't want to do what is right, and we do want to do what is wrong automatically, immediately, the moment we get here. And you can go down to the hospital, and that's all you want to find. All over the place. Bouncing baby sinners. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are born with an appetite that is not good for us. And we are born addicted to sin. There's an addiction. There's an attraction. There's an addiction. We're attracted to it naturally, and we are addicted to it. And sin is addictive. And Paul says, I want to do right, but I can't do right. And I most people wonder about whether Paul was, this is before he got saved. No, this is after he got saved. But nobody saved hates sin. Paul is here upset with sin. Paul says, I want to do God's will, and I don't find it natural. Paul is saying that I need help. And we move from we can't attain what's good. We cannot abstain from what is bad. So so what we got to do is deal with accountability. Sin must be held accountable, because if there were no sin, without sin, we don't have an itch that the devil can scratch. But that's what the problem is. We're itching. We're born itching. We're born wanting to do this, wanting to do wrong, wanting to go out the house, wanting to stay out late, wanting to lie, wanting to cheat, steal, and we get caught up in it. But understand the reality and the nature of our situation, the reality of our sinful nature. You have it. I have it. The world has it. And without the Holy Spirit, we may get to that. It can rule in we. So, but Paul says, I know what I need to do. Paul does not, who does he hold accountable for his sin? Who does he hold accountable for his situation? Does he blame temptation? Does he blame things? Does he try to hold things accountable? Does he try to hold temptation accountable? He doesn't even try to hold the devil accountable. Because in this verse, devil is not mentioned in this verse, in this chapter. At least in this verse, I didn't get a chance to read the whole chapter. I don't think it's mentioned in the chapter. But if you put a D on evil, it's in there. But that's a whole other subject because the thing is that, who does he hold accountable? Amen. It's interesting. He does not even hold himself accountable, does he? He says that it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. Paul says sin is not going to get off the hook. I have a sinful nature, and I'm calling sin out. That I'm putting my finger on the problem. It is the sin that dwelleth in me. Paul puts the blame on sin, and he holds sin accountable. And that is what we must do. You said, how do you hold sin accountable? Amen. Well, you got to understand, you cannot scratch this itch with a human hand. No, you can't do that because the flesh is unsaved. How do you handle sin? You got to scratch this itch with a holy hand. You got to scratch this itch with the Holy Bible. And in the Bible, it gives us what we need, although we are not cured completely from sin. As far as our bodies are concerned, but he says that what you have to do is hold sin accountable with the word of God. That's how you hold sin. That's how we hold sin accountable. Amen. Sin must be held accountable because the sinful nature wants to run wild. It wants to just fornicate and you say, well, how do you hold it? Well, you hold fornication accountable, with vows. God said you can't control that sinful desire you got. But I'm just going to put some rules in place, some vows in place. So the vows now have to scratch that itch. Because you don't want the world to scratch it. The world try to make you, satisfy that itch. You may end up getting hurt. You cannot scratch the itch of temptation. With fornication, you have to scratch it with vows. God says in 1 Corinthians 7:9, it is better to marry than to burn. That's how you scratch that itch. You got to get scratch it with some vows. Let God scratch it. Amen. When I think about it, people want to have fun. They want to run loose. They want to... They go for some spirits and they want to get liquored up and they want to go, amen. And Satan has some stores that'll give you what you need. You see, he's marketing his product because he knows what's in our nature. And he knows that in order to get us to do something, we're going to need some, we have a desire to have some fun and to enjoy life and to do it. But he tried to get us to get liquored up and that way he can get what he wants done out of us. They sin and Satan work together. He gets some liquor in us and so he gets us drunk and then we do things we regret. We wake up the next morning with a headache and a heartache. Then broke, by the way. Satan will make us ruin our lives. We wake up with a headache and he has liquor out there. He has music to manipulate our moods to make us go ahead, and he will lure us into a life of destruction surrounded by good music and drinking, having fun, and before you know it, amen, there's a disaster. Sin always has a bad ending. There are no happy, amen. Satan has no happy customers. They all feel with regrets. Go talk to some who've been doing what God didn't say doing. Ask them how they like it. Well, the truth is, unless I hold you too long, the truth is that God is saying to us, look, you can't scratch that itch with a bottle. Amen. You're going to have the Holy Ghost. They said that the Holy Ghost made some folk drunk in the Bible. You look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 13. It said, these men are drunk. He says, it's just the third hour of the day. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. These men are not drunk, as you suppose, because the store's not open. And then in verse 15, he said they were drunk. But in verse 17, Peter tells them that, no, these men are filled with the Holy Ghost, not new wine. The Holy Ghost will make you, amen, will bless you and give you what liquor can't give you. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine. Don't let the devil scratch that itch. Don't you let Satan scratch your itch. Amen. Satan wants to scratch that fleshly itch. Satan wants to scratch that fun itch. Amen. Satan is after us, and he's trying. He knows that we have an itch. See, Satan knows us because we have the nature. For some of you wonder, well, does Satan know everything? Does Satan know our prayer? Amen. Satan doesn't know what you're saying. He don't know what everybody's praying because he can't be everywhere at one time. But he knows that we have a sinful nature because he has one. And so therefore we have something in common. And he knows what will get our attention. And he gets his people who are unsaved to market things that'll make us fall flat on our face and lure our lives into destruction. Satan got them planted all around us. Amen. Stores and movies and music and liquor and things like that that'll manipulate us into destruction. Well, the truth is that Satan has his program set up and he wants to scratch that itch. But the truth of the matter is that he wants to scratch that fleshly itch, and he wants to scratch, amen, that itch for fun. And he knows that, you know, we want to fit in and we will need association. So children, he knows that they want to have friends, so he scratches the friend itch. Amen. I think it's 1 Corinthians 15:33, the Bible says about, you see, as a young person, you're going to want to have friends, but you can't hang out with everybody. Amen. You may run into people. We have to run into people, but your main friends can always be unsaved people. Amen. You need the fellowship. You need, and not only that, their lifestyle is different. And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good manners. And it's talking about morals. Bad company make you do bad things. And how do you scratch that itch when you want a friend? He says that you got to have some Christian friends. Amen. Amen. You got to have some Christian friends. And he says that don't let Satan scratch that itch with some, just because you're under peer pressure and you want to fit in and go along and get everything the world wants to do. He said, no. He says evil communication corrupt good manners. No scruples. The truth is that we gotta have the right thing. He says, you know, you said, well, I've got haters. I've got enemies. Well, the truth of the matter is that the Bible says that, you know, we have problems. We have enemies. But did you know what the Bible says? That don't get revenge. Amen. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. And Jesus says in Matthew 5:44, he said, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to love them. I want you to do good to those that hate you. Amen. I want you to pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. You got any friends, an enemy that use you? They're frenemies. Some of them, I mean, you hard to see them on the radar, but the truth is that he says, I want you to love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Amen. Do good to them. And he says, I want you to pray for those that despitefully use you and misuse you. Despitefully use you and persecute you. And he says in Proverbs, something I left, well, he says in Proverbs 16:7, he says that when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So we don't have to focus on our enemies, we focus on Jesus. Please the Lord and let God handle your enemies. And God says, he will fix it for your enemies will be at peace with you. Amen. Amen. They may not want to be your friends, but the truth is that he says that's how you handle them is by pleasing God. He said, well, I'm having a fuss and I'm fussing and fighting with folk and I can't get along all the time. Well, the Bible says, in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. You're in a hot discussion or argument and you're fussing with somebody and you start talking, well, you know, the Lord is able. I'm wrong. I should not have done it. You're right. Have you ever used a soft answer and recognized that it turns away wrath? It deflects it. It anger comes at you and you talk soft and it goes in the opposite direction. That's the Bible. Amen. We have situations where we have families, we have friends, we have foes. But when you start dealing with the family, what you find out is sometimes even that becomes difficult. And you if you're not careful, you'll start fighting folk instead of fighting sin. Well, you're dealing with a family member. You may even be dealing with a church member. Amen. Members. But the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle not, amen, against flesh and blood. Amen. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The Bible says that the real fight is with the devil, the spirit behind the flesh and blood. Oh, we got to recognize that if we're going to, you see, if you're not careful, you'll get mad at people. You'll get mad at even the folk in your family. You get mad at the folk of the church. You get mad at folk. But Jesus is, look, he says that sin is in the world, and that means that we've got to allow our friends, our families, even our members to be able to give them some room, give them a break, amen, because we all are wrestling with the sin nature. And what we need to do is to go and forgive and let things go. It's amazing to me that most people that need forgiveness don't want to give any. Most people that need forgiveness don't want to forgive. And the Bible says, if you want your Heavenly Father to forgive you, you must be willing, and I must be willing to forgive others. Think about how much I need to be forgiven. Don't let the devil get the upper hand because he gets you in an unforgiveness mode. Christians get hurt. You start fighting one another instead of fighting the devil, and he wins. In the end, he wins. But if you let the Lord scratch that itch, then you'll find out that he wants it done a totally different way. Well, I'm thinking about, you say, well, I got sickness in my body. Well, the fact is that Job says that, you know, if a man dies, shall he live again? Job 14:14. Amen. Amen. If a man dies, and this was before the resurrection, and we know we're going to rise again, but Job here is in a bad situation. He don't know what's going on. And he said, my hope is that if a man dies, will he live again? He says that if I get a chance to live again, then I'll just wait until my change come. I'm appointed to go through this, and so I'm just going to wait until my change come. Because if you research it, if you do the math, you'll find out that it was the devil. Do you remember when the devil went to the Lord? I mean, you remember when God went to the devil? You know, the devil reports to the Lord. He says in Job chapter 1, verse 8, he says that God brought it up. He said, now, have you considered my servant Job? He's perfect and upright. It means he's honest. He tries to please me. He fears me. He's a man that fears God, and he eschews evil. He shuns evil. He stays away from evil. Job is a good guy. And Satan says, well, you know, let me touch him and remember and never forget that it was, his body was stricken, and the devil was involved in it. And the truth of the matter is that God is saying to us, you know, you may be under a satanic attack, but God is still able. But the source of that problem was not because he had done something wrong, but because he was worthy to be considered by God. God says, I'm going to use Job to bring glory to my name. God is looking for somebody he can consider. Can God consider you? Would you curse God as his wife tried to get him to do and die and just give up on the whole thing? No. Job was a man who God could say, you know, you can let loose on Job, and he's not going to turn his back on me. He's not more committed to himself. He's not more committed to his family. He's not committed to his fortune. He is not committed to anything but his faith. God said, you can do whatever you want to Job. Could God consider us? I mean, that makes us another sermon. I'm trying to make two or three sermons into one. God said, Job is somebody I can brag on. I know Job is a man for the job, devil. I'm going to show you again. And Job says, in all, if I've been appointed to this, then he says that it's like a military term. Really, when you research the Hebrew of it, he's talking about a soldier who is really appointed to go through hardness. And Job just decided that I'm just going to get an honorable discharge because I'm not going to turn my back on God. In all the days of my appointed time, I'll wait until my change comes. He says, I'm just going to wait. And I'm going to keep the faith in God. Job kept his faith in Almighty God. Now understand, my brothers and sisters, that when Satan scratches our itch, what happens is it always has a bad, it's going to have a bad ending. But God is saying, recognizing the world that Satan and sin are working as a dynamic duo. Satan destroyed the first home. We often talk about Eve did this and Adam didn't do this and wrong, but the truth of it is, there's no lawful purpose. The devil started that. The devil got in that home. The devil did it. Amen. You can't take your, if you're not careful, you start talking about people, get mad at members, get mad at families, get mad at folk. But the truth of the matter is, ain't nobody really recognizing the devil. They're not going to talk about him on the news. They're not going to talk about sin on the news. Nobody's talking about the devil. Nobody's mad at the devil. Nobody is complaining about the devil. Nobody is upset about the devil. They're just all talking about the problem. They're talking about this person got shot up these many people and this first place got bombed. And all they talk about are people. Amen. Talking about all these people. But the truth is, ain't nobody mad at the devil. We get mad at one another. We get mad at each other. But we're not getting mad at the source of the problem. Satan tore up the first family. He ruined it, wrecked it. And now 7.6 plus billion people have to be reached by you and I. And we have to go to them recognizing, I'm going to stop in a minute. We have to go to them recognizing that they are sinners in need of a Savior. Oh, we got work to do. We have work. Each person that you run upon is either saved or lost. The Bible says we are all born with a sinful nature. Romans 3:23. For the all have sinned. That word armatia, it means we missed the mark. It means that we've fallen short of the mark. We've fallen short of God's glorious standard. And he says that the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, is death. The wages of sin is death. That's what death, in the end, that's what death, sin is going to pay you, a death. It's going to bring death to your marriage, death to your health, death to your home, death to your heart, death to your life. You can't win. But with God, you can't lose. We can't lose with God because although the wages of sin is death, the gift of God, free, is eternal life, everlasting life. Oh, if I would have recognized that in the end I win, whether I'm dealing with family or foe or friends or fussing or whatever I'm dealing with, in the end, even if I'm dealing with sickness, I win. Amen. Because God has prepared a place when we leave sin behind and when Satan is in hell. Amen. But know that your sins can be forgiven, that God gives you. Amen. What we need to be saved. But if you don't accept it, sin and Satan are going to send you to hell forever. By the time he get through pushing his program and he knows you're like somebody who's hooked on drugs. Amen. And Satan is the pusher and he knows that this person has a nature that is in favor of me, and I've got what they want, and I'm selling what they want, and when that drug market starts jumping up and down all over the place, amen, amen, I have something. I have the Holy Spirit that can keep me. And I've got to say that I'm not going to let this take my life away from me. I am going to trust in the Lord. Satan wants to send us to hell, but God says, I got a better place for you. Amen. The good news is that the wages of sin is death. And I don't have to fall into the trap of Satan's program. I don't have to choose death. I can choose life. I don't have to choose darkness. I can choose light. Yes, my brothers and sisters, Satan rules the dark world, but God rules the light. Do you want the light turned on? I'm going to pray, and if you're serious, God will turn on the light. You have to want it, though. You have to want the light turned on, because all of Satan's followers are in darkness. He rules a dark domain. All those persons and people who are in filled with those who are following darkness, in darkness. But Jesus Christ is light. Satan is the god of darkness. God, the big G God, not the little G God, is the god of light. Do you want it turned on? That's what I want to know. Because he will turn it on. If your heart is right and you really want to be saved, say, Lord, I want you to turn on the light in my life. Oh, God, I want to, if you are real, then speak to my heart and turn on the light. Show me that you are a reality, oh, God. I want to be saved. Bring me out of darkness. I confess that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I believe you can save me because you died and rose from the dead. I confess and I believe. And now I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Ask him that you turn on the light in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you now for those who've been watching. We ask for blessing now upon them. May the Lord bless thee. May the Lord keep thee. Make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't let the devil ride. They said a long time ago, if you let him ride, he'll want to drive. He'll take over your life. Receive Christ today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.